At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello and welcome to the Round 4 Super Footy Podcast. Johnny Ralph just having a look at the ladder. GWS, West Coast, Richmond in third where they belong, and Hawthorn Footy Club. What a win by them today. Special guest today, though, Brownlow medalist Adam Cooney. Coons, thanks for joining us.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Finally got the call up to the podcast.
Coons, I love this game.
This is John Ralph, by the way.
If you're Essendon, you got 7 days for a do-over. If you're the Australian Diamonds, they lost in the last second. They got 4 years until they play a game that really means something to them. So
didn't get tested in the lead-up. That was the problem.
No, I agree. No, flat-track bullies until England rolled them in the last second.
Well, let's start with the major story of the weekend for mine anyway, and that was Carlton Footy Club, who were horrendous down there in Hobart. North are pretty hard to beat down there at the best of times, but they served up some trollop. Things didn't go well from the start with Mark Murphy going down before the game. But Coons, we'll start with you. Where are they at and how do they get out of it?
Well, the problem with where Carlton are at the moment is Brendan Bolton based his whole first 2 years basically on defending the ground. And they did it in the way of Sam Doherty playing as a seventh for a majority of the time, Cade Simpson playing as a wing and floating back. So they had extra numbers back there for 2 years. Now, Sam Doherty's out. They would have worked pretty hard over summer on their attack because that's the next layer. So we, as footy fans watching Carlton, think, well, we'll tick off the defence side of the game because they've been doing that well. Now add the next layer of attack. They've seemed to have shifted the other way. They're trying really hard to attack. Their defence has fallen apart. Liam Jones has been disappointing so far this year.
Is he a victim of that?
I think he's been forced to defend one-on-one because of Sam Doherty being out, Marchbank being out of the side. They're probably the two best intercepting defenders. When they're out of the side, it's a completely different look back there. And
how different is it to play zone from one-on-one? They're trying to play some zone.
I've never played one-on-one.
I was going to say, it's probably not your strong suit either, zone or defence. But I mean, they're clearly trying something radically different, as you say there, without their best personnel.
Yeah, well, I think they've had to, because at times watching Carlton last year, they were pretty boring to watch, and their attack was from defence. And because, as I said, because they have so many numbers back, it's hard to get through there when you've got a seventh defender because you're kicking into an outnumbered forward line. And they've got a young forward line anyway, Carlton. They don't have stars down there at the moment. So, as I said, they have gone the other way to try and attack, but it's not working and their defence has fallen apart because they don't have the pillars back there at the moment.
Well, the club have come out pretty hard and defended where they're at. Andrew McKay said, don't lose faith, so is the coach. But when you get guys like Tom Elliott ringing up 3AW, it's officially a crisis. I think how long, Ralphie, will the Carlton masses tolerate what they're serving up?
They won't last very long because they are second only to the Tigers for eating their own. I mean, Tom Elliott, to come out and say there'll be discussions. I mean, say what you want about Mark Le Goudiger, you know, but there is stability at the top there. All the people who are whinging right now about their direction were exactly the same people who smashed them over their quick fix 5 years ago. Oh, you've gone out and you've traded, you know, for Christian Jacks and you've done silly deals over Bokhurst. They were putrid. They were insipid. Coons is spot on about the defence. You can't defend their performance. But I don't know how that any Carlton supporter doesn't actually realise what they're doing. They've gone and got 3 drafts worth of players. Yes, they've got a huge hole in their, you know, 23 to 28. But when you've got 10 kids under 21, you're going to play that bad at times.
So they've just got to stick fat. And as you say, the coach doesn't have a contract, which adds a little bit of pressure. But they do have a hole in their list, as you say.
He is tense at the moment, Brendan Bolton. He's starting to feel it. The first couple of years, I think we gave Carlton a bit of leeway. Yep. Now we're expecting them to make that jump and improve to 6 to 8 wins this season. It's not happening at the moment. You can see in the box, he's not his usual jovial self, Brendan Bolton. And this happens to all coaches, especially when you're under the pump, but that can reverberate through a young group. He needs to be really calm where he's at the moment. I know things aren't going well, but as soon as he's tense and starts to change his demeanour around the group, that's when things can go really pear-shaped. So he's got to, it's a really critical time for him at the moment to try and keep his group on track.
Yeah, and I think they should have extended his contract or changed his contract. You look at St Kilda, they're going horrifically. But the coach has got a two-year contract. Whereas at Carlton, even Tony Shaw said today, well, he hasn't got a contract. What happens if they're 1-10? So I just think the solidity and the solidarity is really important.
And that goes to your point, what Tom Elliott was saying, is out there. But no, but people out there, if the guy doesn't have a contract, it makes it a lot easier to get rid of him.
So do you think there's a chance that Tom might put his hand up? He wanted to be president before Mark Laguda's out?
I don't know, but I would think that if it keeps going like this for another 5 or 6 weeks, that they might be looking for another coach, wouldn't you?
Focus on football.
I think he's pretty safe. We've got to give him more time to develop this young group. We'll throw a few names at you. Eddie Betts, Jared Waite, Garlett, Sam Jacobs, Josh Kennedy.
It's a pretty handy forward line, isn't
it? Add Bryce Gibbs to that this year.
It doesn't get unfunny, does it?
Getting the text messages from all my Carlton mates about 11 o'clock last night. But
we move on, the average age of, I just had a look at the average age of Carlton. They're 23, average games 58. North Melbourne, actually younger, average age 22, and their average game was 54, so less than Carlton last night. And everyone would have thought that Carlton were tracking better than North Melbourne leading into this season, I would have thought. Mm.
Coons, finish this sentence for me. Collingwood's win against Adelaide was the best since...
Mick Malthouse was coaching.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
I think it was, given that how well Adelaide played last week against the Premiers. They made the grand final last year. Injuries again hit Collingwood this week. I know Adelaide have had a few. I just thought it was really smart playing steel side bottom on Rory Sloane. He's their barometer.
He's back to his
in the
best.
Midfield.
I
steel
how he
side
says
bottom.
The Premiers too. It's nice.
Rolls off your tongue.
Never been an All Australian or even in the squad.
Yeah,
steel
that's because he hasn't necessarily deserved to be. There was no outcry when
he's
he was.
He's been a fair player.
His body of evidence is incredible, but no one whinged and moaned at the time.
It was an outstanding win. Are we going to talk about Pies now?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Well,
yeah.
How do they do it? Because no one tipped them except Robbo somehow tipped them by 50
and that
points.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, and he reneged on it too. Yeah.
He should have kept quiet on it. Yeah. He tweeted it before the game. That was his big mistake.
But what is up with the Crows and Tex Walker? In fact, let's start with Tex Walker. Right, there was an incident during the game you wanted to focus on.
Yeah, look, you know, Mick, there's a picket fence, which is great because it kept you inside the field. And I can remember one time when I didn't body line the ball and I still have nightmares. But I'd like to ask Coon, there was an incident there where I think it was Josh Thomas smashed into McKay. And then 30 seconds later, Tex had a second look. He glanced up. He fumbled the ball. He was looking for the oncoming collision. Yeah, we'll criticise him or not. What happens in the review process when a player of that stature pulls up short?
It wasn't a hangable offence. There's certainly been worse ones with guys running back with the flight of the ball, but he did noticeably take a quick look up and a glance as if, oh, hang on, someone's coming my way. And when you're the captain of a footy club and your team's struggling at the time, it's not a great look. I don't think... I would say that maybe the line coach of Adelaide would address it with him. I don't think it's at that stage where... it doesn't need to be shown.
He might bring it up
the whole group. He might. You're right. It might be the first thing that he says on Monday. Right, boys. Yeah. I just want to put my hand up. This effort wasn't good enough, and then hit it on the head and move on.
There's something up at Adelaide. I know they smashed the Premiers a couple of weeks.
It's the height of their forward line. That's what's up.
Malcolm Blight called it before the game. He said they're way too tall down there. They're going to lose.
It was Don Pike's worst coaching decision, wasn't it, to play five blokes over 193. But the camp... Players returned, you know, to pre-season training not in great shape. Yes, Cameron's gone, Lever's gone. Not that Lever's playing well. We'll touch on that in a second. Eddie's done a hamstring. There's just something that he's off there. Brody's
It's the grand final hangover.
Mm. Yeah, so the hangover doesn't have to occur to the team that wins.
You're right. And sometimes it's a heartbreak of
the
losing.
Pain.
And some clubs come back and they are fit. They hit personal best. Adelaide, you could obviously... There are some real mental scars there that over summer, the players were wallowing in self-pity. They came back not in great shape. Obviously, the camp's been done and run and done now. But to me, there's just some heartbreak there that the Adelaide players haven't gotten over. They're struggling to move forward.
So you almost say, we've done everything right. We've played our best football, except for the last, I don't know, 2.5 quarters of the grand final. How do we get up for it? Maybe that's what's the issue.
Last word on the Pies, they were phenomenal. Brody Grundy is just flying. Stevenson kicked 5 goals, was outstanding. Sets the scene for a massive Anzac Day.
Can't wait another 78 days time when they play.
You've played in those, mate. They're
played in one, yeah.
In one.
Yeah.
They're huge games, and with both sides winning, it's going, you know, they'll crack the 90,000.
Oh, the only thing you'd say about Collingwood, and they were outstanding, two Rising Star winners in a row, you know, they've set up well, both coming back. More, please. This is the standard now. You know, they were putrid in round one. They've been getting better and better. So we've seen how good they can be. We've seen how they can move the ball. We can see how blokes could hit targets. So if they regress again, well, this is the standard to which we will judge them. They were fantastic.
Quick one on the team. They're going to play the Bombers. Had a great win, bounced back. They were smashed. We tend to go a bit over the top in footy, don't we? That everyone had written off the Bombers and Horsfall. You didn't, because they're your teammates. But Jake Stringer was one of those that had been written off. You were there, Coons. Is that just pretty much a no-brainer? He's a deep forward?
Well, I mean, it's the same as Cale Hooker. He looks, and he went back to the start of the game in defence today. And I think everyone in the crowd that were Essendon supporters actually stood up off of their seat and cheered and applauded when they saw Cale Hooker starting in defence. he's just much more natural as a defender.
Absolutely.
He's strong. He's good one-on-one. He reads the play. And it was a completely looking different dynamic from the Essendon. Jake Stringer playing up forward looks way more comfortable there. He's not a midfielder yet because he's not fit enough. Yeah. He doesn't work hard enough. But he has that burst of speed. The amount of tackles that he broke today, which is damning on Port
Adelaide. Which is why, Ralph, you're liking Gary Ablett all those years ago.
Gary Ablett tendencies, Michael.
Was that Gary Snur or Gary Janur?
No, Snur. Oh, Snur.
He does have those mannerisms, though. But Zach Merritt also. Zach Merritt back to his best. He got tagged by Rockliffe, who, I'm 100% certain he's injured because he was running on one leg today and could not keep up with Zach Merritt. They tried Ebert on him. So for Zach to fight his way through a tag and have a good influence on the contest was pleasing. Bombers back to their best. That's what we expect from Essendon. Yeah. Now you say that about Collingwood, but that's the Essendon that I want to see every week now.
Who are you tipping Anzac though, boys?
Oh, gee whiz. Oh, maybe Collingwood?
I'd go Essendon.
Yeah. I think the only thing about, you're right about Hooker. The question was, we were asking, is can he play forward? And of course he can play forward, but he's just better as a defender. That allows Hurley to get off the chain. He had 29 possessions. Yeah, they just look more comfortable.
That's
the old pair of tracksuit pants, isn't it? You just get into the tracksuit pants like you do, Mick, at about 4 o'clock, and you just feel better, and sometimes things flow from there.
Let's talk about the disaster D's. Mick Malthouse wrote a column about
the disasters.
He, 4 weeks ago, Mick said the thing about Melbourne that annoys him is that when they win, no one's happier, but they inevitably drop one away. And today was a classic example. 21 points up at quarter time, lose by 67 points to Hawthorn, who are still rebuilding. It was a horrific loss.
Yeah, they drink their own bathwater, don't they? Can I just
they'll make that the headline of the pod now.
Well, there's no doubt that they do.
Are they rebuilding Hawthorn? They've rebuilt.
They rebuilt in 6 weeks.
They did that in 8 weeks, didn't they?
No doubt. And Carlton's doing it for the fifth year plan. Tate Lever.
Yeah.
He's a lovely fella. I said hello to him at Fox Footy the other day. But he's not playing good football, and he's on $750,000.
He's looking at it like a deer in the headlights at times, isn't he? And straight away, round one against the Cats, they look to expose him one-on-one. And
with a first gamer in Salva Radigalea.
And also Menzel towed him up on a couple of one-on-one occasions. So that's not his strong suit. And clubs haven't allowed him to play that intercepting role, which he's so comfortable with. I still think he's finding his feet at Melbourne. His best football is certainly, well, hopefully, is in front of him. I think it is. He just needs to play that natural game. But
he's panicking at the moment, though, isn't he? I mean, two balls, you know, went through his legs. The second of them, you know, a Gunston goal.
And the players, I've noticed at the moment, opposition teams are getting stuck into him verbally and physically, and he doesn't give a yelp back. I think he needs to find a bit of
mongrel.
Yeah, mongrel.
That's and I think you're talking about we should never have player wages public because we would hang them with it every year. But when they are public, we do it now. So he's on, what, $750,000?
Yep.
You know, he's as overpriced as anyone in the AFL. Can I introduce a new topic, overpriced and underpriced, Mick?
Okay.
Because I think right now the two underpriced players in the AFL are Daniel Menzel, who just kicked five goals.
Extraordinary that no one wanted him.
Yeah, that was bizarre,
including
wasn't
his
it?
Own club.
Yeah, no doubt. No,
he wasn't even getting a game, was he, towards the end of the season?
No, and Josh Thomas. Josh Thomas is on $120,000, kicked five goals last week. It was outstanding again. But right now, Tom Doty, come in. He's on, what, $150,000 here. He's on $600,000 less than Jake Lever. And Lever is playing $150,000 football, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think Tim Kelly from the Cats is underpriced.
No doubt.
He's just come in, a mature age player. His first kick in a JLT, who hit Tom Hawkins on the left nipple. As soon as I saw that kick, I put him straight in my Supercoach team because I knew it would be something special. The Cats just seem to have a way of just getting it done.
Ralphie wants to build a statue of Stephen Wells.
Well, he has been outstanding. But the last couple of years, a few people have said some of his higher picks haven't really worked. You know, those two early picks for Gary Ablett, and they didn't get much out of those. Radigalia, the players they get in, everyone knows about him, but they get them, you know. Stewart, you know, he was playing at South Bowen, and he's turned into one of the best small defenders in the comp. Fogarty, who, of course, everyone knew about, they got him in at, you know, pick 20-odd, he's been outstanding. Parfitt, yes, they've had some issues with the likes of Nekiah Cockatoo and stuff, but, yeah, Tim Kelly. Every club knew about him. Five clubs wanted him. They knew exactly where to get him in the draft. And I tell you what, that statue of Wellesley, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Who's underpriced for you?
I was just going to say, the one I saw today who has been accused of being overpriced for a while with a dodgy knee, Jaeger O'Meara today. Tom Mitchell was down. Nathan Jones did a really good tagging job on him. He's still got 25 or something. But
Which is a reasonable day out. I think he had 12 clearances as well. Yeah, people say, geez, he was down Tom Mitchell, wasn't he?
But O'Meara just went to another level. He landed Auckland at one stage, and they got him straight off, Ralphie. You know, the Maserati, let's just check it out. But went back on, kicked a couple of nice goals, and he's showing that he'll be worth whatever they paid for him.
Can I throw up a theory I've got? The Tigers right now, they're playing like Brad Pitt. Absolute and total swagger. They know that they're better than anyone else. Alex Rance knows he's the best fullback in the comp. Dusty knows that he's five lengths better than anyone else. But they're also doing the little things. Jack Ruwatt went back with a flight with a couple of minutes to go. You know, Lee Matthews says that when you win the flag, you've got about 6 weeks where you're just better than any other team. Have you felt like that at times, Coons? You know, probably in that Brownlee
medal
year.
Unfortunately, haven't had the luxury of getting to that stage.
But individually, yeah.
Individually, in sort of the midway through the 2008 season, I just felt like I was getting tagged most weeks, but it just wasn't worrying me because I was fit. I could run. Both my legs worked. It was great. And then unfortunately, in 2008, hurt my knee, and that was it. But it would be an amazing feeling to win the premiership, to know that. And they probably won it before their time, before their players have had peaked. They've still got a lot of improvement.
But I think it's based on hard work.
That's all it's plus, isn't it?
Defend that ground. I was at the Brisbane game, and they were appalling. But the way that they push across in waves, Brisbane just had no chance. And the ball inevitably would turn over.
That's why it's such a perfect mix right now. I'm not saying it's going to last.
They were worried, Richmond, the last couple of weeks that their work rate wasn't quite up.
This was pretty good against, was it the Hawks last week?
Yeah, that's just started to tick over
there. As soon as the
ball
hit the ground, they were off and running in waves, and Hawthorn just couldn't keep up with them.
Which sets up another Anzac Eve. It's Jay Clark is telling us it'll be a bigger crowd than Anzac Day, Melbourne may have...
I don't know, not anymore.
I have stuffed that up, but anyway. Now, boys, Dustin Martin, I think you've written a column tomorrow, have you, Ralphie, liking him to...
Gary Ablett.
Someone better than Gary Ablett.
Lee Matthews.
Funny, actually. Wayne Schwartz texted me again today because in 2011, after 30 games, he said, this bloke reminds me more of Lee Matthews than any other player. He just kicked five, funnily enough, against Brisbane. Obviously, six last on the weekend. And no one is ever going to be as good as him. 91 goals and 650 possessions in 77. He didn't even win the Brownlow. But he's got the low centre of gravity. He's got that menacing presence. And if I was Richmond, I'd be saying, let's play him 70-30 for the rest of the year. I mean, he could finish up with the 500 goals that Schwatter all those years ago considered. I'm not making the comparison, but has there been another player out there that effortlessly has been able to
similar
move
off-field forward lifestyles too, Lee and Dusty?
So are you saying you think...
I think he's clearly the best Richmond player I've ever seen. And there was some dark years there, but there's some bloody good players.
John Madden?
Well, he was a good player. But
Wayne Campbell? Stephen
Richo, Tiller? Cochin, KB, I can go back that far.
So
I think he's the best Richmond player of all time.
So better than Richo.
Better than Royce Hart.
I think if they win the premiership this year and he continues on his merry way, then he's right up there in the conversation. Now, anything that happened before 1995, I've got no idea about him. So I can't compare the greats like KB because I've never seen KB play.
Yeah, and Royce. I mean, how good was Royce? Obviously,
I can't.
Yeah, but look, Kane Corns, and he's worthy of his opinion, but he said he's not a champion. And all I would say to that is that this bloke's been playing for 8 years and four games or whatever. His standard has been flawless all the way through and clearly getting better. Like, he's had 8 years of pretty fantastic football.
And Sammy Landsberger wrote something that just, every now and then you pick up the paper and just makes you smile, that Tom Lynch is, well, that Richmond, he couched it by saying they have the space in the cap.
Yes.
But I just get the feeling Tom Lynch is headed to Punt Road.
Well, look, I've asked around the last week or two, and he could easily stay at this footy club because it's not really about money. You know, there's no ambassadorial cash. But
Nor should there be.
No, but what he's already on, you know, 900 or a million, and they'll be able to match anything. But it was put to me that he'd like to go to a club that's still rolling. So he doesn't want to be the Messiah. You know, he doesn't want to be the naughty boy of Life of Brian. He could roll in with Richmond, where he plays alongside Jack, only 3 years younger than him. He could play at Hawthorn alongside Gunston and Ruffy, but he doesn't want to go and be the Messiah at Collingwood. Mm. He doesn't want that expectation.
Yeah, okay. Well, if he's getting paid 1.5, I don't think it's going to matter. He's going to be considered that at any club that he goes to.
I don't think you'd pay Richmond to pay him 1.5, though. I think you'd have to be a bit realistic. Yeah, 1.2 max.
But you can't pay him 300,000 or 400,000 more than you're paying Dustin Martin.
Nah, you can't get more than Dustin Martin, can he?
No.
Would you have to go around to the players, Coons? Has this ever happened to you? Here, where they go, hey, can you take 50 grand off that if we can get Joe Blow?
I'm only on 50 already.
There was, funnily enough, a player that I played with for a long time, and he was coming towards the end of his career, and there was only a spot left on the rookie list. And it was 35 grand or something like that. So he pitched to the players to chuck in a couple of extra each to get him up to 70 or 80 to keep him on the list.
Yes.
He said, or else it wouldn't be worth playing. He'd have to get a job somewhere else.
And what happened?
We said, thanks for your time, mate. Good luck with your next opportunity.
Well, and what about when blokes are massively overpaid? Look, again, Lever will be fine. He's going to be fine in 2 or 3 years. But what about the Tom Boyd experiment where he's on so much cash and maybe they've already restructured some of his contract? But
yeah,
is the resentment at times about that stuff when he's languishing in the VFL?
I suppose there'd probably be resentment there if, one, you feel like you should be getting paid more.
Yeah.
But the Tom Boyd one is one out of the box because, and you won't hear one Western Bulldogs player, I mean fan, sorry, criticising Tom Boyd at all.
Yeah.
Because he's done what he needed
to do. Something around their neck as a player.
Exactly
too,
right.
Yeah.
So the fans are happy to pay
even
Tom
for four
Boyd
more years?
I think they are. Well, they won a flag in 1954, so I think like, a lot of them can die happy. They'll buy Tom Boyd a drink at the bar whenever they see him.
And what about you, Mick? You broke this Fremantle story, hush money. Can you give it to us in the 45 seconds we've got
left? I just think it's fascinating that neither the AFL nor Fremantle will come out and deny or confirm or deny that there was money paid or a transaction of some sort. I wouldn't have thought that'd be very hard to do. They're hiding behind the fact to say that's about privacy. I don't think whether you confirm or deny that will identify any people.
Yeah,
do you, John?
So often they talk about transparency and accountability, and they've been great with the match review panel. They've been great with a lot of rules lately. But when push comes to shove, and Gillen's salary, for instance, or this instant, all of a sudden the AFL refused to comment.
The respect and responsibility policy, they stood up on the rooftops and told us how good it was. Yeah. Right now it's looking pretty shambolic. Boys, just one last one. Some pretty nasty scenes with Dylan Robin. I don't know if you've seen the footage of him collapsing.
Yeah, pretty scary.
We do know that he's gone to hospital and he seems to be okay, but not something we want to see in our game.
No, and every time people say our players don't deserve the money they get in entirety, not one specific player like Lever, but you realise how much you put up with. I mean, Coons, you've talked about injections and all those things. You've got 4 or 5 or 6 years to really cash in on your career, and you get as much money as you can because it's a bloody tough career.
A regular heartbeat, I think that was what they said. So
and Doc Larkin says
two cases in sort of 3 weeks, which is
Kyle Kirby at Collingwood.
Yep. So. And Doc Larkin says you can have surgery or medicine for the rest of your career. So it's very much something you can overcome, but they were terrible scenes.
Yeah. All right, that's all we've got time for this week. We'll see you next week on the Super Footy Podcast.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.